think it is a real joy, blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Monday afternoon. And we are thankful for the Lord loving us and having mercy upon us. And I really mean that, God, those that do saved me from a burning hell. I'm glad he didn't give me what I had coming. If he had, I'd already be burning. But I'm glad God had mercy upon me, a sinner, 42 years ago, worked the work of faith and labor, love in my heart. It transformed me and changed me and brought me up out of the pig pen. I still have a problem with temptation. We all do, being in human and in human flesh. That's part of being human, temptation. But nevertheless, I've got a new desire, a new nature, a divine nature, God in me, Christ to be the hope of glory. For 42 wonderful years, I've been enjoying this wonderful, pure, perfect, complete, and powerful salvation. I didn't merit it. I don't deserve it. If I got my deserve, my due reward, I'd went to hell. But God had mercy upon me, looked past all my faults, all my needs, and I come to him, and the only thing I could bring, it was a broke heart and a contrite spirit. I got over myself and gave up myself, and I genuinely repented. Now, repentance means turning away from, giving up, or starting over, turning completely, making a U-turn and turning around. And I done it. I came with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. I was remorse. I was repentant. I was ashamed of myself and my sins. And asked God to have mercy upon me, a sinner. I wanted him to save me. I knew Jesus was the Son of God. I knew he died for my sins. I knew God raised him from the dead. I always knew that. I said a lot of time I knew from a little bitty boy. My mother instilled his name and who he was, and she presented him to me. I saw enough of Jesus in her to know that he was real, and there's something special about that name in him, and it worked on my conscience, because that's the only name under heaven given among men where all the world must be saved. But she told me about him, and I believe that. As a little boy, young teenager, young man, never had any problem in knowing who Jesus was. Now, the difference says I didn't know him as my personal Savior, and most folks today, they know about him. They believe he's the Son of God. They believe he died for the sin. They believe God raised him from the dead. They believe all that, but they've not received that personal in their own hearts. They've not repented. They've not gave up themselves. They've not called on him with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. You've got to do that. When it really becomes alive in you, and you really have a real live and unfinished faith, and it gets alive inside you, then you'll come to a place of repentance. You'll see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and you'll wind up calling with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. That's when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to call on him. One thing to believe on him and know who he is, and another thing to have him as your personal Savior. You've got to call on the Lord. What's he going to call on him for? You're going to call on him for forgiveness of your sins and him to become alive in your heart and transform you and change you, quicken you, and make you alive and save you from your sins. And he'll do that when you call on him with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. So many people are confused today. And the reason is, the Bible said God's not the author of confusion, but there's peace in all the churches. We have so many apostates and hypocritical wolves and sheep clothing, bombs and buzzards and vultures. All these hirelings, beloved, they're flooding out in the pulpits. All these people have learned with their minds, but empty in their heart. They're just a bunch of clouds without water, a bunch of trees without fruit, twice dead plucked up by the fruits. They're a bunch of abominable, sinful and shameful and ungodly religious apostates. They're not real. They don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. And the majority of them is in it for what they can get out of it. But they're in it for all the money, the fame, and everything else that goes along with it. Be it admired, adored, or call somebody to think they're some kind of the divine one. When all of us, before God Almighty, beloved, are not a thing in the world, but a wretched sinner. We all are sinners. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all like sheep gone astray. But the Lord has laid your iniquities all upon him, and by his stripes only can you be healed. He's the healing balm, the chief physician. That means, beloved, you cannot be healed or saved from sin. And beloved, till you take the sin atonement, the blood sacrifice that he shed out at Calvary and bore his side, sending his own body for you. Beloved, he died in your stead. He died in my place. The Bible said he that knew no sin became sin for you and I, that might be made the righteousness of God in him. And only way to become right or righteous in the sight of God Almighty, if you accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And outside, the Bible said, the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for the healing balm, the chief physician, the ever-lovely Lord Jesus Christ. He was bruised for iniquities. That's our sins, beloved. He was bruised for iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. What we had coming, he took it in our place. Died in our place. Bruised for iniquities, the chastisement our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, what he bore, the flogging, the beating, the bruising, the slaughtering, bloodbed, as he done him, like a slaughtered lamb done before his shears. He opened out his mouth. They beat him. They slaughtered him. Then they beat him beyond recognition. Isaiah said, Isaiah 52, the last portion of that chapter, said his vices was marred more than the sons of men. Nobody's ever been marred like he was marred. His face, his figure, and his body. He was probably beyond recognition. They beat his body so bad. They opened up and where all his bones were staring out. They exposed the meat, the flesh off his bones. And he was bleeding, beloved, and then they nailed him to the cross. They nailed his feet. They nailed his hands. And they swung him down in the hole. And then they cried out for a drop of water. And of course, they gave him, tried to give him vinegar to drink. And he got so blew out, so tired out. Beloved, he couldn't lift up his tongue. His tongue clave to his jaws. He could not raise up his tongue. He was so weak, so stretched, so beaten, so bruised, so battered by the howling wolves, the bulls of Bashan, and the dog. He said, it comforts me, compass me round about. God have mercy on this vile, sinful world. Brother, they crucified the Lord of glory. The Bible said if they knew who it was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know what they were doing. They were responsible for what they'd done, but beloved, nevertheless, they didn't really realize and recognize who he was. They would not have him. They wanted to be relieved from their bondage that they were in so far as the world was concerned, beloved. But he didn't come the first time for that reason. He came the first time to make reconciliation for sin. He that knew no sin became sin. Thank God for you and I. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. Died in our place. Crucified in our place. And in his dying hour, as the Bible said, his heart busted, and what like wax and water was melted, it run in the midst of his bowels. He was hemorrhaged and bled out of all the wounds, beloved, and out of his rectum, out of his eyes, out of his side, out of his feet, out of his hands, every place where they flogged him and beat him, all his blood trickled from his body. He shed all his blood, beloved, at Calvary, was bruised for the chastisement of peace, was and is upon him. And he's the only way from earth to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. He's the door. If you try to get up any other way, you'll be the same as a thief and a robber. Beloved, there's not but one door into heaven. I know there's a lot of ways in Atlanta, a lot of ways to different places over the world, beloved. You can take different avenues in different ways, different streets, and different flights, whatever such as it may be, and go to different places, beloved, but it's not one place, one way that is to get to heaven. That's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. If anybody tries to come up in the way, they'll be the same as a thief and robber, and they'll be cast out in that day. God help you. God help you to realize, beloved, it's more than just to know about him. You've got to know him as your personal Savior. He's got to get alive in you, transform you, and change you, quicken you, and make you alive. But he cannot and will not do that, beloved. You seek him with a whole heart. The Bible said when you sought him with a whole heart, he'll be found of you. I'll guarantee you when he's found of you and becomes your Savior, gets alive in you, I'll guarantee you, it'll bring an automatic change. Old things will pass away. All things become new to you, beloved, when you get converted and born again. That is the second time. The first man's an earthly man. The second man's the Lord from heaven. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. God had to quicken his spirit. His spirit was dead under the guilt and the punishment of sin. He was going to die in the flesh. But we all are. There's no discharge that is in the flesh. No discharge in the world of death, beloved. All of us are going to die in Adam. But you don't have the taste of a second death. Praise God, he died in our place. He that knew no sin became sin. You and I, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And if you go to heaven, you'll have to experience a new birth. He's got to be your Savior. He's got to cleanse you and forgive you and wash you and purify you and sanctify you and make you brand new on the inside. Outside that, brethren, you've got no hope. You're not good enough. You never could be good enough. We're shaped in iniquity and born in sin. We have a sinful, depraved, Adamic nature. Have an unclean nature. The Bible says a swine's nature, a dog's nature. That represents unclean. We're unclean by birth, brother. But God doesn't impute sin where there's not another sin. But when you get old enough to where you realize you've got sin and you run from the call of God, God trying to speak to you and deal with you, give you a place of repentance, and you rebel against that, then sin is imputed because you don't have any, no excuse for not living, not knowing what kind of condition you're in. You have a God-given conscience. Everybody does. That's the image of God. God gave us an awareness, good and evil and right and wrong, the ability to make choices, make good choices or make bad choices. And he didn't want us making bad choices. Man chose to do that himself. God warned him. God told Adam what was to be expected, what to do, what not to do. He had a perfect state of environment. But beloved, Satan came
came in upon most certainly, supped of all the beasts, and of course he moved on his wife, the thing that he loved the most, and he beguiled her and deceived her with it, and she looked on the fruit and saw the three ways in which the devil gets to a person, lust of the lust of flesh, and the pride of life, and he beguiled and deceived her, and she would take of the forbidden fruit, and when she saw what had happened, she convinced her husband to feed also, and both of them were found naked and guilty before God, that their God-given conscience made them realize that they were naked, that they had sinned, they brought shame in their lives, and they hid themselves and tried to soap a covering with their sin. Of course, fig leaves never has been able to cover anybody's nakedness, brother. Was it then? Not today, brother. There's not but one covering for your sin, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood had to be shed. The lamb had to be slain. The little lamb, without spot, lamb without blemish, it was slain there in the garden, and they gave him coats of skin. Of course, that blood offering signified that one day after a while, God would provide a perfect lamb, a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, ordained before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus would come. It was preached in the very beginning when he said, God said to him, said there would be a coming, a conquering seed. He'll bruise the serpent's head that would reconcile man from his fallen state. And thank God he's come. That's the reason he came the first time, to suffer, to bleed and to die. You better read the Old Testament, brother, and read the New Testament as well. You'll find that it talks about his crucifixion, about his death, his burial, his resurrection. Prophets prophesied about it, those about it, many of them did not, but those that were blessed say, that insight, spiritual insight, they knew what was to be expected. And he fulfilled that scripture, and brother, he's going to come again. Yes, sir, he will come again. Next time he comes, he won't be spit on, he won't be crucified, he won't be slandered, brother. He'll come in power and glory, and he'll put the devil in his place at the battle of Armageddon. It's going to happen, whether you believe it or not. We're going to have those events to take place, and it's going to happen, I believe, real soon. Nobody knows the day and the hour. I don't know anybody else, but I know one thing for sure. He's coming, when he comes, he'll not tarry. Brother, he'll bring his reward with him, and he's going to deal with sin, deal with Satan, deal with all the unbelievable. You better get in while you can. See, my time just about gone. Once you write to us, pray for us. God bless you as I pray in his name. Amen.